And welcome to Stop the Presses. Here on the 25th of November 2019, could it possibly be that late in the year already? Yet, there it is, there it is. Well, my guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is the one and only Hesher, otherwise known as Hesh, sometimes Brian Hesher. He goes by many names, a somewhat elusive but well-informed figure here, and he's with Alternate Current Radio. He's been on this show before, and he's going to give me the latest on the Extinction Rebellion, some things going on that don't get a whole lot of airplay or print or ink, you might say, in the alternative media, or at least there's gaps in between. It's kind of intermittent. How's it going today, Hesh?
I'm great. How are you, Mark? Thanks for inviting me back to the show.
You're welcome. I'm okay. I had to get up extremely early this morning. It's one of those days where you get up so early, you take a nap, and you look back before the nap, and you wonder, did it actually happen?
Was it all a dream? I don't know.
It actually seems like one, and I drove all the way to Harlingen, and I'm pretty sure I was controlling the car. It just seems so distant now and ethereal almost. But anyway, interesting things. We haven't spoken in a while on the air. You want to talk about Extinction Rebellion today. I might throw in a couple of Pence or Krugerrands about Brexit. We'll see about that. We'll see how that fits in. But what's the latest on your mind? I know Alternate Current Radio does a lot of good stuff. You help out with Sunday Wire. You're a conduit for that with Patrick Henningsen of 21st Century Wire. And that connects up with ukcolumn.org and around the alternative media universe, you might say. But what's the latest with the Extinction Rebellion, and what other issues do you want to bring forward today?
Yes, well, if anyone's unfamiliar, myself and my lovely lady who goes by Spore, we run Alternate Current Radio along with some of our friends over here, and it is a bit of a grassroots podcasting collective, if you will, and we produce a show in-house here called Boiler Room. It's a bit of a roundtable discussion that we have weekly with some of our friends. We have kind of a rotating cast of characters that join us for that show, and a lot of regulars too. So it's a bit of a variety show, if you will. We like to have a little bit of fun, a little bit of levity, but we also like to talk about serious stuff, just like you do here on your show. And today I was thinking that I might want to bring to your audience some things I've been looking at with regards to what's going on YouTube. Under the banner of the Federal Trade Commission's oversight of the COPPA Act, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. There's some big changes coming to YouTube I thought some of your listeners might benefit from hearing about. And yes, we've been looking into this Extinction Rebellion media phenomenon that has been going on for the last about a year now, I guess, but it's gotten really big since the dog and pony show of Greta Thunberg most recently. So, I was thinking maybe we could start with COPPA, though, if that's cool with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do that. The deplatforming, the demonetizing, the censorship, which has been so nonstop and has got people, you know, really going everywhere they can, BitChute and beyond, to try and find other amenable platforms for their intellectual property, for their news productions, for their commentary, whatever it might be. And granted, we always want to know what the options are and the alternatives, because it's supposed to be a free market. And yet we're looking at YouTube and some of the other big social media, and they're looking more and more like Standard Oil.
Yeah.
In days of yore. But antitrust things aside, just for a minute, or maybe that'll commingle in here as we go along, but let's hear all about COPPA right now.
Okay, well, I think it does commingle a little bit, and I think that there are some underlying things between the lines on this topic that will definitely affect everybody, especially with regards to deplatforming, censorship, and such. So here's what's going on. For anyone who doesn't know what COPPA is, it's a federal act. It's been around since '98. And it is the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, and it ostensibly gives parents control over what information websites can collect from their kids. Doesn't sound too bad yet, right? So here's what happened. Just this last, last month, 2 months ago, I don't know. I think it was in September. Google and YouTube were forced to pay a $170 million fine for alleged violations of COPPA. And that was ruled by a FTC New York Attorney General who was alleging that YouTube channels collected kids' personal information without parental consent. Consent. So YouTube and its Google, YouTube is obviously a subsidiary of YouTube. They're going to have to pay $170 million to settle allegations by the FTC and the New York Attorney General that this was going on their platform. Now, the settlement requires Google and YouTube to pay $136 million to the FTC and $34 million to New York for these alleged COPPA violations. And the $136 million is by far the largest amount the FTC has ever obtained in a COPPA case since it was enacted back in 98. So, okay. Interesting, right? I didn't even realize this thing had been around since 98. I thought it was maybe something a little bit newer, but it's not.
Me too.
So, folks, especially anyone that uploads content to YouTube that's listening to this right now may wonder, well, how is this going to be practically instituted, right? What's the logistics here? Well, if you are a YouTube uploader, you may have seen there are new terms of services that have come out in the last week or two, and there's big change coming in January. So what's going to happen is channel owners and content creators will now hold the liability of self-determining what is quote-unquote kid content and what is not. So this is pretty sneaky. You know, you've got this huge, mega, giant six corporation, you know, one of the richest companies on the planet, YouTube, and they're removing liability from themselves by putting that liability on you, the content creator. So
let me digest that. So they've shifted the burden, the onus, to the content creator. So rather than YouTube saying, we have all these content creators, we're the platform, we have to police this correctly or we get fined, they're shifting that now to where me, you, anyone is responsible for producing content. And if it has content, let me see if I can extrapolate. What if I produce something and it in some way has content that could be construed to be intended for an audience of minors, aka children? Then it's up to me to make sure that it's rated correctly or labeled correctly or with a disclaimer, or what is that?
Therein lies the big question. Therein lies the rub, my friend. So how do we operate under the new FTC/YouTube/COPPA regulations? Okay, so how do we define what a kid is?
Especially these days.
Yeah, no kidding. especially considering the things they're, you know, legislating that we teach, you know, six-year-olds in class. But that's another story. But they're defining kids or kid content as something that appeals to kids aged 13 and under. So that's kind of a hard one to grasp. But what they have is they're adding a video marking system, a tagging system. So basically, you put a video up and you have to tell YouTube when you put it up if this is kids content or adult content. And which is in itself a problem, okay? Because if you think about that, children, content for children and content for adults are the only options that they're giving. Now, I was just watching a video from a guy that was talking about this before we went live, and he was pointing out that there are no general audience options. And even the FTC itself, if you go to their frequently asked questions page, it says that they do not trigger COPPA on general sites or on non-child portions of a mixed audience website. So that's 4 years ago that they put that up. So the FTC recognized 4 years ago that there was a middle ground audience, okay? And YouTube has apparently intentionally failed to address this in their new system. So there is no way to flag a video for a general audience. So someone may be asking, well, what do you mean general audience? Well, okay, here's an example. What happens to channels that are made by adult? There are lots of adults that are super into Legos, for example, and make mixed content. You know, they're adult channels. But kids may be interested in them. What about video game streamers? There's a huge market of people video gaming, live streaming their video games, adult style video game streams. I don't mean, you know, I just mean for adults. It's not necessarily illicit yes. or anything like that, but they're adults playing video games and they expect other adults are watching them.
Yes.
There are costume channels. There are yo-yo enthusiasts, model train builders, animators, people that play with Nerf guns, RC cars, costumes, comic books, Pokemon, board games. You know, I could go on and on that children and adults love some of these channels. So here's one of the terrible things. You know, a lot of these channels are successful. Some people actually have made a job for themselves out of doing channels like I just mentioned. And then we're not even talking about news yet. You know, we're not even talking about news analysis, politics, all the divisive stuff that, you know, a platform like YouTube, who is highly politicized and has a major bias, you know, that's what a lot of our listeners are worried about. But I'm just talking about the normal YouTube sphere right here. All these people I just mentioned, if they get fined by the FTC for a screw up, they can be fined up to $42,530 per mismarked video.
Whoa, there's a baseball you'll never swallow.
Yeah.
You know, when I hear these things, I always go with the ostensible reason and the real reason. In other words, and maybe I'm speaking too soon and jumping the gun, but I wonder, and I'm not saying what you're saying isn't the core issue in a way, because these are the hard facts and we can look them up and we can verify them. But I wonder if there's something more deep-seated here. Another curtain behind the curtain, if you will, and what this might be about in the long run. And we'll put that aside for now. It's enough to invoke it and just put it there and say maybe there's an even deeper reason. Or this is a one room that you enter, and next thing you know, there's a trap door, and you inexplicably enter another room. Excuse me. So we'll see just how deep this goes and what the, you know, ultimate reasons are for all this. But yeah, this is really disturbing. And you're not even talking about geopolitical or so-called divisive political content. You're just talking about things that some people monetize that can supplement their income. You know, this helps keep people afloat in this age of debt and despair economically. Sometimes people don't know day to day, you know, how they're going to pay their bills, and this helps a lot of people. So if they hurt monetization in general, and this covers a lot of ground in cyberspace, these kind of things you listed, I mean, there's a lot of income loss and a lot of fining and a lot of potentially jail time that could even come out of that. So are they really, in essence, just kind of criminalizing the internet, except for those that hold the keys to the system? I mean, it's amazing where this might be headed.
Right. Yeah, I know, because I think a lot of people would listen to the very, you know, non-news oriented, more kid oriented list of facts that I just broke down there and say, well, you know, so what? Who cares, you know? Who wants mega corporations harvesting and profiting on the personally identifiable information of our kids, you know? And don't parents want the ability to protect their kids from data collectors? Well, yeah, of course, you know? And it's like to kind of circle back to what you're alluding to here, Mark, I think that anytime I see some huge control structure with a facade of it's for the kids, I immediately have red flags go up. I have red flags going up left and right, you know. I mean, we're talking about a social media company here. First of all, let's not forget that YouTube is not just a little TV that you control. It is the second largest search engine in the world. And it is highly, highly, highly monetized. It's highly algorithmically controlled. There's a lot going on there. So to and social media, in its essence, is perhaps one of the biggest danger zones and grooming zones for kids online when dealing with predators, which is what we all want to protect kids from, and why, you know, a setup like this seems, you know, okay to a lot of people on the surface level. So, you know, there's your so what, obviously, but what happens to these channels when they, so say you are one of those channels, say you have a Nerf channel or a costume channel or something like that, and you have to tag it as a kid content channel. Well, you lose, they remove all the social media features like comments, likes, notifications, end screens, info cards, and yes, monetization. So they are effectively ruining a lot of just normal YouTuber people's ability to create mixed content, you know, and be able to make their living doing it.
Let me ask you this real quick, Kesh. I know it's kind of soon, perhaps, but have any of these fines and penalties and sanctions come down the pike yet, now that they're shifting the burden over to the producer? Do we know?
Not yet, because it's so new. This has just happened, and the new terms of services was just released, and I think it's going to be updated again in December, and then in January, that is when people are going to have to start being really careful with, you know, how they tag their shows, how they tag their videos that they upload. And, you know, one of the things that I thought was really interesting in the new TOS from YouTube, Terms of Services, is they actually tell you to consult a lawyer. They want you to have your own lawyer when it comes to trying to decide, you know, hey, is this adult content? Is this kid content? YouTube's advice is lawyer up.
Yeah, so they're going to make everything inexorably and astronomically more litigious, which is a windfall for lawyers, which always seems to be an element of this progress, which is really regression posing as progress. That's always an element in this. I mean, you name it, across the board in the economic and political and cultural landscape in America, a windfall for lawyers is always part of the package, even if it's not the main thing. And so, I mean, certainly that's an element of this, but there's a lot of elements in the universe. But this is highly disturbing because, well, number one, if parents really want to, we're going about a minute before the break here, the first break's coming up. If parents really want to police what their kids are watching, then it's up to the parents to do it. They don't need a big government bureaucracy in coordination with big social media companies to do that. We'll be right back with more from Hesh after these messages. Stylistic audacity, charge the common
ground. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea. And YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
And we're returning to Stop the Presses here on the 25th of November, 2019. Your host, Mark Anderson, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, continuing my conversation today with Hesh, the well-known host of Alternate Current Radio and The Boiler Room and related productions. And we're talking about a whole new level of online censorship via YouTube. Hesh, what you were saying at the beginning of the show, name the name of that act again, COPPA. Is that Children's Online?
Privacy Protection Act, yes, COPPA.
Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. I was thinking during the break, the analogy, and tell me if this is an analogy is wrong, it's almost like you've got a neighborhood movie theater, and rather than telling little Johnny or little Sally, you know, I don't want you to see X movie, and I'm not going to drop you off to see this movie because it's not appropriate for you. It's got a lot of blood and gore or whatever. They're basically saying the parents, you know, can kind of take a hands-off thing and let the machinery do it. And so in this case, well, movies do have a rating, but how many people pay attention to those ratings, right? A lot of young kids will see a PG-13 or an R movie, and the movie theaters don't keep children out of R movies as a general rule. In fact, I've never seen it. But it's almost like the parent is almost relieved of any responsibility and is leaving it up to the powers that be, the government agency, the social media companies, in conjunction with whoever the producers might be they Hollywood or be they some small-time producer, although I suspect this will fall heavily on small-time producers and serve another purpose that's always common besides a windfall for lawyers, and that is the squeezing out of competition where only those with the money for lawyers and the financial backbone can survive, and the regulations tend to squeeze out the little guy. That's another very common thing. Your thoughts?
Yes, that is ultimately what I think is going on with the entire concept of federal regulation of you know, the big six Silicon Valley giants, you know. I personally think that it is exactly that, and that, you know, they make a show of, you know, Zuckerberg trying to, you know, appearing as though he's resisting this sort of regulation and such. But what I really think is happening is that the regulations have been being crafted for a long time, along with the social media giants, in a way that they will all be able to solidify their monopoly, their information monopoly. They're at the risk of sounding overzealous or over conspiratorial, their mind control. You know what I mean? There is a consensus reality that is built by social media, and it's very beneficial to a lot of establishment entities. So for them, I think it behooves them to set up regulation and to solidify Google, Facebook, Twitter, you know, all the anointed Silicon Valley giants into, you know, these sorts of regulations. And then, you know, they drape it with Children's Protection Act and whatnot, you know, while at the same time they'll tell us on FM radio that they can't play, you know, Baby It's Cold Outside because it's offensive. But then, you know, oh, but here's our next track, you know, for all the kids. This is Cardi B singing about someone, you know, kissing her butt or something even worse, you know, try to use the PG version of that.
Yeah, so it could be construed in a way, in a realistic way, of being the Google Protection Act.
In a
somewhat circuitous fashion, because Google owns YouTube, correctly?
Yes.
Correct? Excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, what I see in the future is consolidation, solidification. And these, as you say, they're playing almost the wounded warrior. You know, Zuckerberg gets up there, or the head of Twitter gets up there, and yes, I'm somewhat penitent. I'm a penance guy. I'm penitent. I'm falling on the sword. I believe in free speech. Yes, I hear you, Mr. Congressman. I hear your concerns, and they're pleading with the congressman all the way to the bank, so to speak, and. What Congress is really giving them is regulation that looks like a sword against the big social media companies, but in fact is a shield around them.
Yes, that is exactly what I think is going on. And when it comes to, you know, to kind of circle back to folks like us, you know, people that are interested in independent media, independent journalism, independent analysis, the ability to pick and choose who we think is honest and earnest and doing good work out there and choosing to watch them. This is the tribe of people I'm most concerned with, not to belittle children's privacy and protection, but what I'm seeing in our sphere is a lot of channels getting demonetized or just deleted. There are channels that are hundreds of channels that have just disappeared, been deleted. Some of them have been successful in getting back online, but not many. A very small percentage have made it back online. And there's another line in the terms of services that YouTube has put out. And this line has actually, this isn't a new line. It's been there for a while, but it says they can remove your site if it's not commercially viable.
Incredible. We'll be back with more on that and the Extinction Rebellion after these ads. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Returning to Stop the Presses, your host, Mark Anderson, 25th of November, 2019. My guest today, Alternate Current Radio's Hesher, as he's known, sometimes the moniker Hesher McHeshington, I believe. That's an interesting one.
Yep, that's my name. Don't wear it out, Mark.
Absolutely. Hey, before we get into Extinction Rebellion, any final thoughts you have on COPPA would be helpful. What might those be?
Just a couple final thoughts here. Just before the break, I was mentioning that there is a line in the Terms of Services that says if YouTube discerns that your channel is not commercially viable, they can out and out delete it without, you know, any strikes or notifications or, you know, an email telling you, you know, what to do differently to be compliant. They can just remove you, and they are starting to do that. They did that to Sam Tripoli's Tinfoil Hat podcast this last week. Somehow he got reinstated. I'm hearing rumors it may be because of his connections to Joe Rogan, but that's neither here nor there. Some people are able to get reinstated. Most are not. And there have been a lot of channels deleted. So that is happening. And I predict that there's going to be a massive purge, a third or fourth wave of purge coming at the beginning of 2020. And I think it also plays into the elections. There's a good chance that this is going to play into narrative management and, crowdsourcing and, that kind of thing for the elections. So keep an eye out for that. And then I'd also like to just point out that, YouTube left up. I don't know if listeners are familiar with Elsa Gate. We talked about it on Boiler Room a few times. But YouTube left these videos up that were like aimed at kids and really creepy, like sending very strange messages. Those videos were left up for a long time, and many of them may still be there. I haven't updated that. But I don't want to dive too deep into that, but I'll put that nugget out there. And it makes you wonder how much YouTube really does care about children's privacy and, you know, predators making content that is aimed towards children. And finally, I would also like to say, you know, Google made $136.8 billion, with a B, dollars in 2018, okay? $39 billion in Q4. So for them to get fined $170 million, is that anything more than ceremonial? You know, is that just a catalyst to move the onus of litigation to the content creator? I think so.
It's almost as if they're simply paying the government a fee to help make this happen.
Yes.
I mean, that is less than pocket change. You know, that's like taking a penny to you and I and cutting it like in 1/10,000 or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, I would also note there, the election point that you made is a very good one, because whenever the powers that be do these things, they have multiple goals and multiple benefits. The windfall for attorneys we mentioned, the narrowing down of producers in general, so larger ones tend to survive. And then finally, what you just got done saying, and in addition, the general protection that this will give to the big box social media. Now, while I wonder about competitors where people are fleeing to an extent, getting off of YouTube, or at the very least, they have things in addition to YouTube in case their YouTube channel crashes or is taken down. But I wonder if this will provide enough protection and protect the profits of and boost the profits of these companies to where they would start buying out these competitors.
That's my fear, is that once these backup programs like BitChute, for example. Sorry, my dog's freaking out right now. I'm closing my door here. I'm just going to close the door. But as people move to BitChute, you know, and take these other options, I have to wonder, is the FTC going to come after BitChute next? Are you know what I mean? Is COPPA going to be – is can BitChute take a $170 million fine? You know, are they going to be forced to this or that? Or, like you said, is Google going to buy them out and just, you know, reapply all the same algorithms and rules?
Yeah. I mean, if Google can swallow this kind of poison, or YouTube can do it, and they can swallow a little bit of cyanide and still be alive, that dosage might be a little too high for all their competitors. And that's where a lot of people are fleeing now, in fear of being demonetized, or they already have, or they've had their channel shut down and they weren't reinstated, let's say. And so how anti-free market this is, you can't even begin to describe how anti-free market this all is.
Oh, I know. It's awful.
Yeah. So very good presentation, good explanation and overview there, Hesh, on COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. That deserves much more scrutiny. We need to start writing some letters, as futile as that may seem sometimes. Let me ask you this real quick before we get into Extinction Rebellion. Is there any kind of regulation review going on, the Federal Register process, the normal process where a public comment period is provided for a while and something is posted to the Federal Register? It doesn't sound like that would be involved in this. Is there any component of this that would go through that process, what they call rulemaking?
I did watch one video the other night from a YouTuber by the name of Daryl Eves. That's Derrales. He has a lot of content on this. He's sort of he YouTubes about YouTube. So he's very interested in this. He has 5 children of his own, and he's trying to make sense of this. He seems to be a pretty big YouTuber. And under some of the, in the description box on some of his videos, there is a link to a place where concerned citizens can, you know, voice their concerns. So if you go to Daryl Eves, Derrales, go to his YouTube, check out some of the videos related to COPPA, and in the description box, you'll likely find a link through to somewhere at the FTC where you can leave a comment.
Okay, for what it's worth, I thought I'd get that out there. So that's very disturbing. requires much more investigation, but you gave a great overview and some great major points that we can focus on as we try to keep a free market and try and keep an alternative media that we desperately need in this country and around the world in place. And I can't resist the final comment. I'm like Columbo, one more thing. But in the baby with the bathwater effect of this would be that alternative media would necessarily suffer just as other information providers would suffer. And it would begin to pick winners and losers in the alternative media field and possibly create the risk of monopolistic or dominant so-called alternative media outlets that would survive the onslaught and would have an interest in keeping others out.
Yes.
We've got enough people on the ship. We can't let any more people on the ship or the ship will sink. Sorry, guys. We got to go. Bon voyage.
So, yes. And just to add to that, consider the potential for having that, what you just described, happen, having a small handful or an anointed handful of quote-unquote, you know, independent media, alternative media, truth seekers, whatever fancies, you know, whatever blows your skirt up when you think about how you want to describe that realm. But if there's only a small number of them who are allowed to be there by YouTube, think about how easy it would be to manipulate their content by allowing them to monetize under certain circumstances, or having people insert super chat money when they're doing live streams. You know, there's a lot of manipulation that can happen, and a lot of steering and direction that can happen when that kind of money is involved for a chosen few. And you can let your imagination run wild with where that can go.
Right. We already have the chosen few in the big box mainstream mass media cartel. Might they be trying to whittle this down where they'd redefine alternative media as a handful of acceptable channels? And, you know, Ben Shapiro comes to mind, who yes. might be one of those.
Right.
And I say that for no particular reason other than a hunch. But enough said for now, to be revisited, to be continued. Great, Hesh. Now, I'll mention briefly that the show, ladies and gentlemen listening live and in the archive, the show about Dr. Richard L. Day and his cryptic and prophetic remarks, not altogether cryptic, but very prophetic remarks that were made in a 1969 speech 50 years ago that I covered last week, Wednesday and Friday, with Johnny Delirious, as he's known, as my co-host. And we listened to audio excerpts of William Dunnigan, Dr. Lawrence Dunnigan, recalling what Dr. Day had said. And we also recited the transcript. Very, very important deep state stuff, very prophetic, very disturbing, wide-reaching predictions made in 69, most of which have come true. We will continue that on RBN either this coming Wednesday or after the holidays. So stay tuned for that. But on the archive, you can listen to me and Johnny outline Dr. Day's 1969 speech as recollected by Dr. Dunnigan. You can go to the archive from last Wednesday and this past Friday. That being said, Hesh, let's get into Extinction Rebellion. What's the latest on that?
Okay, so there is a bit of a transitional topic here when it comes to YouTube and Extinction Rebellion that I'd like to throw out there.
Go ahead.
One of Spore and I's and the Boiler Room's colleagues are Aaron and Melissa Dykes of TruthStream Media. They don't live too far from us here in Texas, so we hang out with them. And we bring them on the Boiler Room sometimes when they're able to make it. And if any of your listeners aren't aware, TruthStream Media has an amazing YouTube channel. It's been there for 7-8 years. It has almost 500,000 subscribers. And it has been a, for me personally, a treasured source of information for many years. They're really good. They're really good filmmakers, and they do great analysis. But they have experienced a lot of demonetization, deboosting, you know what I mean? Like, they've basically been had their ability to make any sort of income on their fantastic work totally taken away from YouTube. People get unsubscribed automatically. People don't get notifications when new things come out. Videos get held for review and never able to monetize. The ones that they are able to monetize are becoming fewer and further between. And So they've moved some of their content off of YouTube. They won't even put certain things on YouTube. And their most recent production is on Extinction Rebellion. And they're having to host that at a different site. So Extinction Rebellion, I think a lot of your listeners probably are aware of it after the giant media blitzkrieg of Greta Thunberg of Sweden, the 15, 16-year-old climate activist, as we're told.
The Pippi Longstocking of the globalists, yes.
Yes, exactly. The Pippi Longstocking of the globalists. There's a funny meme going around showing a girl from like the early 1900s who looked almost exactly like her in this black and white photo. So there's people are saying, the memes are saying she's a time traveler now. So
The Mandela effect, yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Baron Trump story, you know. There's that meme about Baron Trump being a time traveler and all this, but
I believe that's just me, but okay.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole nother rabbit hole. So Extinction Rebellion as a group is, and this is something that Aaron Dykes brought up in the last Boiler Room. And if anyone wants a really deep dive on this, to go check out the last Boiler Room. It was episode 255. It's at alternatecurrentradio.com up in the Billboard slider. But Aaron made a great point that Extinction Rebellion as a group is, number one, not grassroots. It has a massive financial set of backing and a massive amount of money being spent daily to pull off some of this stuff. So, you know, there's a misconception amongst people that Extinction Rebellion is a grassroots effort of, you know, global citizens who are concerned with anthropomorphic climate change. Okay, so that's their thing. But what Aaron pointed out, and I think this is key, is that they are running on a myth. Okay, and their myth is that of, forgive the language here, it's globalese, I suppose. Their myth is that of ecological apocalyptic truth. Okay, I'm doing quotes when I say truth, air quotes right there.
Yes,
and
yes.
Anyone who does not accept their apocalyptic truth is denounced as a denier. Okay, so what Extinction Rebellion is doing is they are openly and admittedly using mythology as truths. And the mythology that they are weaving is that the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't stop everything we're doing.
Okay? Here we go again.
Uh-huh. 12 years. Now, Mark, you and I have both been on this planet for a little bit. You maybe a couple years more than me. How many times have we heard this apocalyptic, you know, end date?
I've heard at least three or four that I can immediately think of, and I know there are others. Y2K was sort of an in-betweener. Maybe the entire world wouldn't end, but at least the modern world would end in terms of modern technology. You know, we'd be back to carrying torches around or just a little bit better than that in the blink of an eye as the Internet of Things, as it came to be known, would crash. But yes, several times. Plus, we had the Ice Age scares of the 1970s, the shows hosted by Leonard Nimoy, among others, that would talk about a pending Ice Age, Front of Time magazine. So, yeah, the here comes the end of the world or something approaching it has been around and coming back around for quite some time.
So long. I have an article I've been recommending to people on air for a few weeks while we've been talking about this. It's called 50 Failed Apocalyptic something or others. I have an article in my notes that has a list of 50 of these things, and that one goes all the way back to 1969, I believe. But Aaron or Melissa of TrueStream came up with one that goes even further back. So let's talk about Thomas Robert Malthus, an English cleric and scholar who was influential in the fields of economy and demography. In 1798, okay, he first came to prominence for his 1798 publication called An Essay on the Principle of Population. And this essay is the source material that was used by Darwin to come up with the theory of evolution. It was highly based on Malthus. So, and there's a big argument to be had there, perhaps a whole other broadcast, but there are, as many listeners probably are aware, a lot of problems with the evolution theory, with Darwinism, you know, like it or not, whether you're a creationist or whatever, or even not one, there are a lot of holes. And when you link it back to Malthus, you really got to start to wonder. And if you're versed on your globalism, you may really, really start to wonder what's going on there. But anyways, this is a gag that is as older than dirt, you know, going back to, let's say, at least 1798 here, maybe even further. Apocalyptic truths. And Extinction Rebellion is admittedly using fear tactics, and they are, this is the worst part to me, they're telling children that they're going to die. They're going to schools and telling kids that they're not going to live beyond 12 more years, and that they need to, you know, make their parents go vegan. They need to ditch school. They need to do all this stuff. They need to protest. And what is going on at these protests? Well, go ahead.
I can't help but interjecting. Where is the child protection in all of this?
Yeah.
I thought child protection was the crown jewel of being ethical. Yeah. As we heard about COPPA a few minutes ago, the parents and the schools, the parents are kind of unwitting, or many don't know, but the schools are knowingly and willfully allowing kids to be traumatized. What difference does it make if it's in person through some nefarious visitor to your school, or through a YouTube video that these same visitors might make? I thought we're supposed to protect children from being traumatized or terrorized, but evidently, there's a lot of malleability in this protection of children meme.
Yeah, you know, you want to make a video about Legos or Nerf guns and have a little bit of fun? Well, hey, you know, you might get sued by the FTC or deleted by YouTube. But if you want to organize a die-in at your local school, that's right, I said a die-in. That's where a bunch of people come and cover themselves in fake blood and pretend to be dead on the ground. You could probably do that. So, you know, and that leads me to something that I think a lot of people miss or wouldn't even have the guts to bring up when it comes to Extinction Rebellion, because you're looked at as a terrible person, a mean person. You're not allowed to make fun of a 16-year-old. You're not allowed to make fun of a kid, especially if they're, you know, they have some kind of special, you know, special needs or whatever. You know, they have all these factors that make it so that you cannot, you're a denier, you're an a-hole if you say anything about this little girl. But she is a figurehead. She, you know what I mean? She is a poster child. And these aren't new either. They had one in 1993 at the Brazil Earth, UN Earth climate thing, whatever. There have been other iterations of Greta, is my point. I've played those on Boiler Room.
Oh, the Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit. Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, they had a young girl there whose family also was vested in the climate change mythology. But anyways, there is a magical ritual aspect to Extinction Rebellion. That might surprise some people. But, go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of searching for the right comment here. The hypocrisy is so thick, it's like trying to swim across the Pacific Ocean here. These people are terrorizing children in the name of saving them, and they're part of this overall establishment that wants to tell us what we can and can't watch or screen things for us on a screen, on an iPhone or an Android or on a laptop or on a television screen. But if it's in person and you have a die-in, well, which is far more impacting, far more influential on a child's immature, you know, fragile psyche in many cases. And So it's amazing what the people that call everyone deniers are allowed to get away with. You know, you go around demonetizing, you go around doing all these things, just taking people's channels down. That's no different than going into a business and just physically shutting them down, smashing their windows in if it's a brick and mortar business.
Yeah.
Somehow if it's in cyberspace, it's all fair game. But if it's in real space, you know, it's just incredible. The disparities and inequities and hypocrisy here as we wind up the show. We got about 3 or 4 minutes left. But yeah, go ahead and give us any summarizing comments you have on this. But this is criminality, and the criminals are being allowed to tell everyone else to leave them alone. And if you don't, you're just a denier.
Right.
And you know, this is where the musket comes off the wall, metaphorically speaking, for me. I'm telling you, I don't sit well with that kind of stuff.
No, this gets ugly, Mark, and I know we've only got a couple minutes, so I'm about to do a bullet point rant here. You jump on me if you have to. Play the music over me. Just let me rant to the end. I don't care. There's too much to get through quickly. But when I say they're doing magical ritual, there are magical ritual aspects to what Extinction Rebellion is doing. They're having die-ins. They're drinking black goo. They're doing these performance art things in the streets where they're pouring black goo in people's faces. They're getting together in these lumps of people, and they're doing like breathing exercises, and they have mantras, and like, you know, gay people twerking for climate change. All this weird stuff going on under their icon. Their iconography is an ancient rune that is turned up right side wrong. It's usually sideways, but they've turned it up and down so it looks like an hourglass. That is a rune that was used in Viking curses, and there's a Crowleyan aspect to that too. So there's a lot of esoteric stuff going on here. And then let's look at the poor, okay? They say this is for the poor. Extinction Rebellion is for the poor. It's not for the poor. It is against the poor. If they really cared about poor people, they would be looking at the biggest polluters, major corporations, not middle-class people, not lower-class people, not screwing with people for drinking out of straws when the military-industrial complex is the biggest polluter on the planet. You know what else they want you to do? They want you to stop eating meat. They want you to eat this human-cultured lab meat, this soy slop, this lab garbage, this GMO shit that they're putting, sorry for the language, they're putting in, you know, they're trying to affect local policy and state policy, much like we've discussed with the cities initiatives, the global cities initiatives, Mark. So this is crazy. It goes, it's big, it's huge.
We could call it the Soylent Green agenda. Boy, there's a word, Soylent Green, like the old movie.
Yes.
It's not just the green agenda, it's the Soylent Green agenda.
Yes, yes. Check out Boiler Room 255, everyone, for an in-depth on that.
That's alternatecurrentradio.com. Thanks, Hesh, for being on today's show. We're out of time. We'll see everyone next time here on Stop the Presses. Have a great day.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.